You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Got a technical malfunction waiting for Peter to call back in, but in the meantime, reminder that coming up on Monday, October the 14th, will be our annual golf outing. We're headed back to Talamore Country Club in Ambler, and one of the two major fundraisers that we have each year. We have the Wake Up America dinner in the spring, and then this golf outing in the fall. It's always a great day. Great golf course. We were there last year. Golf is preceded by lunch and followed by dinner. We'll have a silent auction, great gifts to be auctioned off to raise much-needed money. One of the areas we could always use more support is sponsors. If you're interested in sponsoring a hole or sponsoring a meal or some of the other sponsorship levels, you can get the information you need on our website at inhissign.com. You go to the bottom of the homepage and you can download the flyer. In addition to the sponsorship information, it all also has the information on how to register to play golf. And if you're not going to play golf, you can come just for dinner. But all that info is available on the website. And always a great day. I've been planning that outing now for 10 years or so, and we always have a great time. So hopefully you can join us. Again, that's Monday, October the 14th.
Aren't we? I just see the top
and,
of your head.
And Peter, looks like...
You're seeing the best part.
Yeah, we got... Peter, we got you back, huh, brother? Peter?
Hey, Ken, I've got Mother on.
Very good. For our listeners... as usual, this is the last Wednesday of the month, so it's Divine Will Wednesday here on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we're joined by Peter DePalma, who's with us every month. And every other month or so, Peter will bring along a guest, and today he's brought along one of the guests of guests, and that's Mother Gabriel, the foundress of the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will. Peter, sister, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you. God bless you.
Thanks, Ken, again for the opportunity.
Yeah, man. Peter, you want to start us with a prayer?
That'd be great. We're going to use a meditation for our prayer today. It's going to be taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a joy to be here. And you mentioned, Ken, the guest of guests. Yes, Mother Gabriel Marie epitomizes the part of the Divine Will when it says, give up even holy things, because, again, for your listening audience, 35 years or so at EWTN, at the right-hand sister and secretary to Sister Angelica, Mother Angelica, and just extraordinary. And again, Mother, hold your ears. You know, she would have been next in line, but she saw something greater, something bigger, something that God and Our Lady wanted her to do more. And she gave up everything. She gave up all holy things to follow her insight, to follow her instinct, this natural intelligence that God has given us. You know, we hear a lot about AI, but this is natural intelligence. Sorry about that. So, again, we're all here. We're blessed to have her, and I can't wait to get into whatever the Spirit, wherever the Spirit's going to take us on this beautiful call.
Amen. I couldn't agree more, Peter. And I've known you probably soon after I learned about the divine will from Daniel O'Connor. It was 3 years ago this month that I had Daniel on this show, and that was my introduction to Louisa. And it was soon after that that I met Maureen and Deacon Thompson, John Thompson. And then once I met you, you opened me up to the Mother Mother Gabriel and you know, others that have really given up their lives to study and really translate for people like me the writings of Louisa Picaretta, which aren't always easy to understand. And I still have people, Mother Gabriel, you were on with me, it may have been a year ago, and that in that hour, the explanation and discussion that you provided for folks, especially that weren't never knew who Louisa was, I still get people that tell me say that they've listened to that show and how you were able to explain it in such a way that was basic and able to bring them on. And I just know for my own sake, I'm 3 years in, and I still have difficulty when I ask people if they know about Louisa, and then when they say no and I try to start to explain, I start to stumble. Because it, you know, 3 years in, and I'm still struggle to get the words that will make people have interest and not put them off. So I want to thank you for that. It's quite a gift that you have in that regard.
Thank you. You know, I've been reading it since 1998, actually. I've gone through them all maybe 15 times now. But, you know, when I first started, too, I wasn't sure if I understood it completely as I do now. But what has helped me a lot is reading the drop books and also Tony Hickey's introductory book, which is very good. But, you know, you might want to read those because it really gives a good explanation. For people to want to share it with other people, I think those two books are just really good. I mean, it just goes through a whole view of what the divine will is all about and how to live it. Because it's really very simple. I mean, it's all about, you know, God's love, Him revealing His love to us and us returning that love to Him through all of the gifts that He's given us, to be grateful for those gifts and to realize He wants to relive His life in us. And he's a gentleman. He won't come unless we invite him in all of our activities. But the more we do that, the more we die, the more we shrink, the more he gets bigger in us. And as that happens, we see everything and everyone through his eyes, including ourselves. I think when we see ourselves through his eyes, we begin to appreciate ourselves and love ourselves the way we really are, the way he sees us. You know, we walk around with a lot of guilt. Not really forgiving ourselves for our past sins. God forgives us. He wants us to live in the present moment, not in the past, to trust in Him and trust in His mercy. And when we see ourselves the way He sees us, we see everybody else the way He sees them. So first of all, we have to accept ourselves, love ourselves, forgive ourselves, and trust in Him. And then we're gonna love others. We're gonna be able to forgive others and see them the way he sees them, but we have to see him the way he sees us first. Then we can see him through the eyes of Jesus. You know, Mother Teresa, when I met her, she says, "I take care of the poor not for their sake, but for Christ's sake." She saw Christ in each person, and that's what made her work so profound, because she made them feel so special, you know, because she was seeing Christ in each person, which in reality, Christ was in each person. Christ is in each person. And he says, you know, what you do to others, you do to me. We have to realize that the way we treat others is the way we're treating him. You know, so we have to be merciful to ourselves if we're going to be merciful to others, you know. God is merciful to us. He loves us. So I think the best way to get to that point is to allow him to do everything in and through us. And then we're taking on the life of Christ. We take on his attributes, his virtues. You know, it's hard to try to practice virtue on your own. But if you're looking at him within yourself, realizing he's doing everything in and through you, he practices the virtue in you. You're taking on his attributes, his virtues, and you get a lot of joy. I mean, you really, the divine will has given me so much joy, so much peace. When I first started reading, things didn't bother me anymore like they used to. Things that were trials in the monastery, sometimes they just fell by the wayside. I had peace and joy all the time, and I thought, this is too good to be true. At first I thought, is this really true? Is this really of God? And I was tempted to give it up sometimes, thinking, well, this is, you know, can this really be real? And but then I saw it transforming me and bringing me more. I was falling in love with Jesus more and more and more. So you judge everything by its fruit. How do you know this is of God? The way it transforms you. The way you're changing, you're getting along better with people, you're loving people, you're growing in humility, you're dying to yourself. You know, you're not so upset when people disagree with you. It's okay, you know. And so I think, you know, that's how we can tell this is really of God, the fruit that it bears in our lives as we read this and apply. You just don't read the volumes. You have to apply it to your life and do what it says.
Yeah.
And doesn't hurt also that we've just received the Nihil Op stuff for all of Luis's writings. But right. To Mother's point, we kind of knew that this was real. Again, we know that, I mean, if it's something from the other side, the fruits would not be as delicious as they were. And, you know, Ken, when you talk about not being able to explain this gift, one of the most difficult questions that I've ever faced, because people ask me questions all the time, if it goes point blank, right center on, it says, what is the gift of the divine will? I'm frozen because I don't want to say too much, don't want right. to say too little, you know, sort of like that commercial, just right. But even Father Inuzzi admitted that the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but is easy to understand once we accept it. And the key, to, end quote, but the key there is once we accept it, once we give our fiat, God gives us the grace and graces in order to understand this language of heaven. Again, he's using our vernacular just to communicate to us, but we cannot explain, it cannot be explained just with the vernacular. That's why when Jesus says, and Mother, we talked about this many times, when Jesus says, I'm going to teach you the language of heaven, it's not a different language like Spanish or Greek. No, but it's the true meaning behind the words that God's using. So again, it takes grace, it takes mystical gifts, and God has given each and every one of us a plentiful amount of both. We just have not been using them to the best of our ability.
And I you know, encourage people out there who may want to understand the divine will in a better way. You need something to read. Try to get the drop book. If you want to find it, you can find it on Peter's website, but you could also find it on ours, benedictionsofdivinewill.org, and just go to family page and scroll down to Luisa Picadetta, and the drop book will be there. You can write to us, Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will at gmail.com, and we will send it to you by asking us to send it to you. You can also find Tony Hickey's little introductory book, which is very good. They're small little books. Tony Hickey's book is very small, but it really explains what the Divine Will is all about. The drop book is a little bit more in-depth. You know, it's a children's book, but it's really meant for adults. I always tell people, read that before you go to the volumes. Then you'll understand the volumes in a better way. Now, the first 10 volumes, and 36 volumes, our Lord gave Luisa. And she had a first grade education. These are profound books. So you know that she didn't write them. She was his secretary. Jesus wrote these books because they're so profound. But they're simple, profound, but simple. Once you start reading it, you understand, you know, it's so simple. And as you read them more and more, you find it more and more simple as you go. You know, the first time I read them, I didn't understand every little truth, but I would keep on reading on. I'd read every little thing I didn't understand maybe two or three times. Then I'd go on, and it would be repeated in a different way, and then I would understand it. So when you finish all 36 volumes, you've got a pretty good idea of what it's all about. And every time you go back, it's like you never read it before, right, but you understand it in a greater way all the time. But it's a growing process. You read a little bit every day, and it's little by little, to learning to live in the divine will. It's amazing how it transformed your soul. It makes you see things in a different light. It makes you realize who and what God really is in a greater way. I mean, we can't know in this life who and the greatness of God as he really is. We won't know that until heaven. But we can learn about him more in this life by taking on these volumes. You know, it's all that the church has taught through the centuries, but we didn't see it. We didn't understand it. Now when you go back and read all the saints in the past, you understand what they wrote more and more, you know. It makes everything so much more clear, you know. It's like, you know, I was always a good Catholic. From the time I entered college in 63, I went to Mass every day. But then I got involved in the Charismatic Renewal in 69. And that experience, I couldn't wait to go to Communion. I couldn't wait to go to Mass. I couldn't wait to go to Adoration. So everything came to light. Everything I had learned in the Baltimore Catechism, I now understood it. I had memorized all these things that the sisters had us memorize when I was going to Catholic school, and now I understood what I had memorized. So it was like I got a light. Well, that's what the divine will gives. It gives a light to understand what the church has always taught. It's always been there, you know. But you understand it in a much greater light, and God takes over in your life, and you see everything and everyone through his eyes. And it's a delightful experience. I mean, as you live it, it just transforms you more and more and more. This drop book that I'm talking about is three little books, but they put it all in one. You can buy the book also, and I'm sure, Peter, you may have that on your website where you can buy the book. But you know, it's wonderful. Read it to understand it. The first 10 volumes that Louisa wrote was. God was transforming Louisa. She was going through a purification. Then the next 10 volumes, from 11 to 20, is all about what the divine will is all about. So sometimes they say start with volume 12, then go back to number 1 to understand it better, because to understand what it's about. Then from 21 to 36, it's just more in-depth what the divine will is about. They're beautiful. As they higher, you get to the higher volumes, it gets more and more beautiful. But it's, you know, every time you read these books, you get such a delight. You feel the Lord's presence in a special way. You just really, you have been having a bad day, a hard time, just read for 10, 15 minutes. Your whole day will change. Yeah. You know, you're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. It's amazing how it just lifts you up, you know, because our Lord says he's with us in a special way when we read these books. It's like when you read the scriptures, too. You feel a special grace. Well, that's what you get with these divine will writings also, a special grace as you read them.
So true. Yeah, Ken, if I can add to that, the drop book series, yes, like Mother said, the free download is on Mother's website, on my website as well. It's also available in audiobook on our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. But if you want an actual hard copy, what was happening is they were getting requests all over the world, and it was very expensive to ship these books. So they found it easier and more accessible for folks to buy these books, purchase these books, by allowing it to be for sale on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com and you look up the drop book series, you can get it with many times if you're a Prime member for free shipping. So again, this is not a money-making agenda by this lovely family. Again, they're just trying to get the word out and trying to recoup what they can in order to print more additional books. So again, free download, audiobook free. You can buy the hard copy on Amazon. Again, Mother's right on point. This is a beautiful introduction, a beautiful resource in very plain language. It's an excellent complement to the volumes. And last but not least, when Mother said about nothing new in this, you know, but this is explicating. It's making everything that God has given us to this point better known. And that's well documented also in our church. It's actually under the Catholic Catechism, Article 66, which states that, and Article 67 defines the role of the mystic. So, yeah, it's just like that Father Nuzzi analogy. You know, the Catholic Church is a flower. We've been looking at this flower for 2,000 years. We have it memorized. We know everything about the flower. And then all of a sudden, the divine will comes and, voila, it's a magnifying glass. Now we look at that same flower and we can see so much. We can see photosynthesis now. We can now recognize the fuzz on the petals. Wait a minute, this is all new. Actually, it's not new. It was always there, but just new to us. And that's exactly what the divine will does. It explicates. It squeezes out everything that was already there in seminal form.
Yeah, we're group.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. Go ahead, Ken.
No, I'm sorry, Mother. But I was going to say we have a Calyx unit that's been reading a a book that Dan Burke put out, Finding Peace in the Storm, but it's based on Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. And if there's anything mm-hmm. pre-Louisa that is close to the gift of the divine will, it's in this. And I first found Uniformity 20 years ago and interested because, you know, so many of us that are in recovery, you know, we're told that, you know, our lives should be spent trying to discern what God's will is for us and then asking for the courage to do it. And that's why I was so interested when I first learned about Louisa and this gift of the divine will. But in Alphonsus Liguori's book, it's almost like he was on the verge of knowing about divine will, because it's not conformity now. He talks about uniformity, basically giving up our will for God's will. And I always thought that was not the goal, that, you know, I was just supposed to do what God wanted me to do. But as both of you have said, when you read the volumes, and for those that might be interested, before the show's over, I'll fill you in on a cenacle that meets every morning. And I think we're currently in volume 26. And just this morning, you know, Jesus is talking about what it's like to exist in a host in a tabernacle. And, you know, most anybody that's Catholic would be familiar with, you know, consecrated hosts being reserved in a tabernacle. But when Jesus tells you what it's actually like for him to be in there, it just sheds a whole new light on what our church has and has taught, and realizing that, you know, Jesus needs us to be there in front of the tabernacle, and his desire and longing to be not just in the tabernacle, but within each and every one of us. And it, you know, this morning it was, you know, that the host isn't alive. It's, you know, it's sitting there. It doesn't come alive until it's received by one of his children. And then it should animate us. It should, you know, bring us to life. And it's so subtle things. I'm 63 years old, made my first communion when I was 7. So 56 years of receiving communion. And I have all these new insights in the last few years of what's actually going on, not just at Mass, but when my Lord comes to me in that consecrated host. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, he's a prisoner of love waiting for us to come to him. And he's like in a little box, a little prison. How much he suffers, longing for us, because he loves us so much. No one could suffer like he suffers, because no one loves like he loves. You know, and then we receive him so haphazardly so often with lukewarmness, and people, you know, right after communion talking and leaving the church and not really meditating on the real presence for at least 15 minutes. He's with you at least 15 minutes. So it's just good to pray right after you receive him in order for him to really work on your soul. You know, I'm hearing feedback. I don't know if y'all hear that or not, but now it's stopped. But to just really, you know, meditate after you receive him in the Eucharist so that he can really, you know, transform your soul and you can fall in love with him in a deeper way. He's making love with you when you receive him in the Eucharist. He wants to be so intimately related to you and involved in you and your life. You know, so realize when you receive communion who you're really receiving, and really focus on that. You know, we have the greatest miracle happening every day that you can witness, and that's the body and blood coming into bread and wine, being transformed, the bread and wine being transformed into the body and blood of Jesus, just through the request of the priest, the desire of the priest. Jesus does it, the priest doesn't do it, but the priest desires it, and Jesus does it. And so, you know, you have to realize what's happening. That's the greatest miracle that can ever take place, and you can witness that every day by going to Mass every day. And, you know, I always say, I tell people, I have an apparition every day, sitting before Jesus every day, and I see him in the host, which is the real presence. So I'm seeing Jesus every day, the real Jesus, you know, and I have to realize that is the real Jesus, you know, not just treat him like a little piece of bread. He's not a piece of bread anymore. It's real presence. And so we have to realize that, you know. And, you know, he said he will make us living host in the divine will. Mm. He wants to relive his life in each one of us so intimately, but we have to let him, and we have to know what that means. And how do we get to know how that means? By reading these beautiful teachings that he's given us through Louisa, to know what it means that he wants to relive his life in each one of us. He told Louisa that He relived each one of our lives to perfection while he was on earth. From his conception on to his public life, he relived each person's life to perfection. So how did he do that? He says he called us, each one of our conceptions, into his conception, each one of our births into his birth, each one of our steps into his steps, each one of our words into his words. So he divinized all of our acts by calling our acts into his acts. And so we can take those acts that he relived for each one of us as our own and take it as our own and give it back to him to give to the Father, so the Father can get all the honor and glory he should have gotten had Adam and Eve never fallen. So that's what this is all about, the divine will. In the end, in all eternity, it'll be like nothing evil ever happened because Jesus repaired everything so the Father could get all the glory that he should have gotten. Through his cross, crucifixion, and resurrection, he has obtained the gift of the divine will for us again. And now we have the teachings to teach us how to do that. It's always been there, but the saints didn't know that they could call Jesus to their activities. They did his will, but now he's calling us not just to do his will, but to ask him to do his will in us. That's the difference, you know. So Louisa, he says, was the first one, of course, after Our Lady. But Our Lady was different than everyone else. She was conceived without original sin. Louisa is one like us, born with original sin. And she even asked our Lord, why didn't you give these beautiful writings to your mother? He says, well, because no one could think they could follow her because she's different from everyone else. But Louisa, you're like everyone else. They would feel they could follow what the way that you're trying to live, you know. And so I think that, read little by little, even if it's just 20 minutes a day. I always encourage people to read at least 30 minutes. We read it, the sisters, an hour a day, a half hour in the morning, half hour in the afternoon. We each take 2 hours of adoration a day because we really feel we need that time with the Lord. And, as I know maybe many of you out there, you're busy with family and many things. You can't spend as much time as we can as religious. But it's okay. You can be praying always. Your whole day can be a prayer. As a layperson, working, and you're working, Jesus, come work in my working, come do this in me, come drive in my driving, come eat in my eating, even at night, come sleep in my sleeping. You can be doing a divine will act all night long by asking Jesus to sleep in your sleeping. So you can pray always. This is a way to pray always, 24 hours a day. So don't feel that just because we're religious and we have more time to pray, pray before the Blessed Sacrament. You can be the same, do the same as we're doing. Just call Jesus into everything you do, every day, all day long, you know. And you're going to find as you do that, you're going to get so much joy and peace. You know, when I think about it, doing it, I get a lot of peace and joy. I think about it more when we're doing the divine office. I'm thinking of Jesus praying when I'm on my side chanting, and when I'm listening to the other side, I'm thinking Jesus is listening to my listening. But, you know, in the morning when you say that little prayer, Jesus, come do everything in and through me in your divine will all day long. I fuse myself in you, Lord Jesus. He is, even if you forget to do it all day long, to repeat it throughout the day. But he says it's good to do actual acts. We call that the prevenient act in the morning. You call him, you just say, Jesus, come do everything. I desire that you do everything in and through me throughout the day and throughout the night. But then during the day, you recall them into different activities. You're working on the computer. Say, Jesus, come work in my working. Read in the divine will. Come read in my reading. You pray in the rosary. Jesus, come pray the rosary in me. You know, and you can even call the whole heavenly court to pray the rosary with you. You can have a big prayer group. Mm. You can call all souls, past, present, and future, to take adoration with you. And you are, because he takes the desires of your heart and he makes them realities. So as we do that, it becomes a reality. Jesus loves us so much. And then we have acts in the divine will, but we also have rounds in the divine will. That is, we put our I love yous on everything in creation, redemption, and sanctification. So, for instance, if you want to put an I love you on every leaf on every tree, you don't have to go with a pen to do it. He sees the desire of your heart, and he puts the I love you on every leaf on every tree for you. And because he did it for you, it's a divine I love you. It shouts out to the eternal Father from you. He gives it to you as a gift. He did it. You desired it. He did it for you. And he gave it to you as a gift. And it shouts out to the eternal Father from you for all eternity because it's a divine I love you because Jesus did it. It shouts out to the Father from you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. It never comes to an end. It's eternal because it's a divine act. Whatever Jesus does has no beginning, no end. It's a divine act. all human acts have a beginning and an end. So, you know, that's the divine will. It's not, you have to, in order to live in his divine will, of course, you have to do his will. So throughout the day, you might be asking him, if you have a choice to do something, what would Jesus want me to do? And you do what you think Jesus would want you to do. So it's not just, you know, calling him in everything you do, but you must do according to what he would want you to do. He's not going to sin in you, you know. He's not going to be gluttonous in you. He's not going to do the wrong things in you. So you have to be doing the right things throughout the day. I know a man that told me when he first got involved in the divine will, he had this bad habit of going to the refrigerator all day and eating a snack. And then after he started reading these volumes, he thought, well, let me ask Jesus if he wants me to eat a snack. So he would go to the refrigerator, and he put a little sign on the refrigerator, ask Jesus if he wants you to take a, eat a snack. And then if the answer was no, he would walk away from the refrigerator, you know, and not eat the snack. So, I mean, you can ask him throughout the day what he desires you to do, and you do what you think he wants you to do.
Amazing.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. No, that's great. We already kind of zipped past the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and just take a short break. Again, our guests today are Peter DePalma and Mother Gabriel, the founders of the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will. And we're talking about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the Divine Will. We'll continue the conversation right after the break. Don't go away. Be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And I want to praise and thank God for Peter and Mother Gabriel. What a gift it is to have you both with us here on this Divine Will Wednesday here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Just a reminder that all of our broadcasts are recorded. I usually upload them to our website by noon on Thursday. And so you'll be able to get a listen to this one again or pass it along to friends and family. If you found it interesting, Mother, one of the things, and Peter too, one of the things that I struggle with. So I do a show before this one called Saints and Sinners, and we talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar. And it's once you learn about the gift of the divine will and Louisa, it's you almost don't want to talk about those things anymore. And one of the gifts I think that we've recently got, July and August, with the approval of Louise's writings in Italian, right? We're still waiting for the critical edition in English, but this now seems to be on the verge of exploding. I wasn't aware of, and I think a lot of people weren't aware of how many people were either doing this individually or in small groups. And I know, Mother Gabriel, we were blessed to have you here last July, at the Malvern Retreat House. And unfortunately, I couldn't get there. We're going to have to get you back again in the not-too-distant future for a Divine Will Retreat. But I think we didn't even know locally how many people were interested in these writings. And it just feels like this thing is really about to explode. And how critical it's going to be for those of us that are part of it to be able to explain it just the way Mother has in the last 30 minutes.
Well, you know, Father Elijah and I spoke to Monsignor Paolo Ricci, who's the postulator of Louisa's cause, a few years ago in the Vatican. He's the one that's clarifying the ambiguities. Now, you know, I've read them, like I said, over 15 times, and I don't find any ambiguities, because ambiguities, what are they? It's the way we perceive things in the wrong way.
Right.
And so the five theologians he told us, and Cardinal Ratzinger was the first one in 1997 that approved all the volumes he told us, and four other theologians, two at two different times, which are four theologians in the Vatican, went through all 36 volumes and approved all of them, saying there's nothing against church teaching or morals in the writings. So the Archbishop of Corato wrote a letter that way back to all the bishops throughout the world saying, don't criticize the divine will, because the church has already given approval. You don't criticize anything the church approves of. You don't have to believe it, and you don't have to follow it. But when the church approves of something, you should not criticize it. Like Fatima Lourdes, those apparition sites have been approved by the church. You don't have to go there, but you don't criticize it. So by making Louise a servant of God, they have proclaimed by doing that she lived a life of heroic virtue. So Louisa has been already approved by the church in that way. Now they're working on her beatification. By five theologians, and Cardinal Ratzinger is one of the greatest theologians, one of the toughest canon lawyers, and he was one of the top canon lawyers in the world, approving of it all. You know, we know that the church is telling us, go ahead, you read it. They encourage us to read it. Of course, there's no more index since 1968, I think. They got rid of the index. You can read whatever you want. You know, some priests were telling people, don't read the Divine Will, or other people, their friends may tell them that. But they're reading all kind of apparitions on the computer that are not approved by the church either. So why do they say you can't? You can read those, you know.
Right.
So there's no more index. You can read what you want. The church has already proclaimed that there's nothing against church teaching or morals. I have read the English translation. It's a good translation. It's what you find at Block Printing. They have that translation. Louisa.lev.hu is the same translation I'm reading. I have not found anything confusing in those teachings. I've never found anything at all. Now, I tell people maybe I'm not intelligent enough to be complicated. I don't know. But I don't find, you know, our Lord told Louisa he's very simple. God is very simple. And if we complicate things, we won't understand them, because it is simple, you know.
Right.
If you want to try to dissect things, you know, you get complicated. I think that Monsignor Paolo Ricci quickly, then they opened up a cause for beatification again, because some bishops in different parts of the world were going against the divine will, even though the church says you can't go against it after the church has approved of it. So before that continued on, they wanted to open a cause again, I think, for beatification. So, you know, but ambiguities are only confusions. Our Lord told Louisa that they will find nothing wrong with these volumes. If they do, it's their own lack of understanding, not anything that was written that was the wrong way. That when the Archbishop told us, he was talking to a whole group of Americans, a whole room of Americans, and we're all reading the English translation, and he encouraged us to read them, to spread them. He says you can print them and give them to your friends. He just asked us not to publish them at the time. So, you know, we know that the church is encouraging us to do this, because many people have been very much blessed by this. And I feel like it's the greatest thing the greatest gift that I've ever been given. You know, I got involved in the Charismatic Renewal. I went to Medjugorje, which was fantastic. But this, to me, is the greatest thing. It's the thing that has transformed my life more than anything and given me such, such joy and such peace and helped me fall in love with Jesus more and more and more, you know. So I encourage you to just embrace this gift. It's a beautiful gift to miss out on.
Absolutely. You know, Ken, if I may add just a thing to what Mother said, because it's very important. You know, the ambiguities that they spoke of, it really wasn't confusion on Louise's writings, but what was confusing the matter is, and what Mother articulated also, it was lack of understanding, lack of discipline to basically church teaching. And again, nothing nefarious, but when this was in the place of or possessed by those who were spreading the devotion, or as they called it, the devotion. Some were spreading the writings of Louisa. Some were teaching the writings, and they were doing it with inserting a personal opinion of the writings. Again, personal opinions, we all are entitled to one. But when we're teaching it, you have to be very careful. Even Jesus told Louisa to be very careful when you speak about the divine will. So I think those skewed teachings, which are still out there today by both lay and clergy, were causing the problem. And to Mother's point, the church before, this got too out of hand. Because remember, a falsehood will travel halfway around the world before truth puts its boots on. It had to be stopped. And that's why in South Korea we had things that were added to Louis's writings that were not Catholic. Same thing happened in France. Same thing happened in the United States at times. So we have to just be very careful. We have everything we need. God has given us the writings of Louisa. And now through the critical edition, which is, I can't believe it's going to be very long from this point to receive, that will be the baseline that all groups, all souls will be sort of using as the springboard so we can all have that common foundation. And that way I think it's going to eradicate a lot of issues. Because how can we be united if I'm seeing green and everyone else is seeing orange and folks are seeing red? Yeah, we have to all be on I hate that phrase, that same page. But the only way to do so is for someone to say, this is it. And again, I think Father's dissertation, Iannuzzi's dissertation, is great. But this critical edition will even trump that. This will be the go-to document for all groups, all religious, all lay. And I can't wait.
Yeah. I think, like you said, Peter, it's coming soon. I think they're going to work on that now, you know, and this is so important. It's spreading around the world. You know, we used to go to Medjugorje a lot when I lived in Italy. I live now in Tennessee. I still have sisters in Italy and some in San Marino. We have three houses now of sisters and two houses of monks, one in Carpegna, Italy, and one here in Tennessee, we just really found that as we, because we are Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, we're getting vocations because of the name Divine Will, because everybody is growing everywhere, and everywhere we meet, all these people would meet in Medjugorje, from countries all over the world, they were all reading the Divine Will, and they wanted all the volumes. They might not have had all the volumes, so we would send them, we'd email them all the volumes in the language they wanted, you know, and that's why we're getting vocations too, because it's spreading. People want divine will communities now, you know. And Cardinal Burke, when I met him, he encouraged the bishop to let us start in Italy. We went to him, Father Elijah and I, you know. And he knew it was controversial at the time. He said, "You sure you should have that divine will in your title?" I said, "Well, you know, I think we should, you know." But that's why we're getting vocations. So because we have divine will in our title, we're getting more and more, you know. And Cardinal Burke loves the divine will. In fact, he had all the volumes in English. And he wanted me to send them all the volumes in Italian, so I did. I sent him a whole box of the Italian, the translation, because he's fluent in Italian, you know, and it was written in Italian. So if you understand Italian, of course, it's the best language to read it in, you know. But I know that there's a sister, too. We have a sister from Croatia, Sister Elizabeth. Her father put a website together, and her brother, with all the volumes and all different languages that you could ever think of. They're finding more and more languages that it's being translated in. So, you know, people are falling in love with this. They're translating it in different languages that you've never even heard of all over the world. It's growing so fast, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's all over. That's how God can really use the Internet to spread this. We can email it to people. You want to share it with people. You can. I have it all. I have a phone here. I don't even have internet on the phone, but I have all my volumes on the phone. I have all. You download a Kindle app on your phone, right. And you can download. It's easy to read on a Kindle app because it's like it's very easy on your eyes. So you know, if you want to download it, I think that's a PDF file. Luisa.leb.hu. You can Google that. Get all the volumes. That's Luisa.leb.hu and download them on a Kindle app on your phone, and then you've got your whole library there in your pocket. You go to the doctor's office or something, sitting in a waiting room, you can be reading your Divine Will. So I find it very accessible that way if you want to do that, you know. So it's easy to get, you know, if you really want it. And God gave it to us at a time when people are literate. But many years back, even in the early 1900s, many people were illiterate. They couldn't read. But so he waited till a time when everybody's able to read, you know, and so that, and if you can't read because you can't, you're blind, well, Peter's got it all read, you can download it somehow so that you can listen. Even if you're driving in your car, you can be listening to the Divine Will. So if you really want it, it's very, very easy to get, whether you want to listen to it or read it or do both.
Yeah, one of the things
I'd like to also follow up on something you said earlier, very important. You said that it seems like things are bursting right now with the Divine Will. And I think what's happened is, I think with that Nihil Obstat being given to all of Luisa's writings, I think now those who are apprehensive, those who are being perhaps squashed by the pastor saying, you know, there's error or you can't do this, it's not approved, and all that's gone now. Now, again, they don't have to accept it. They don't have to follow it. But as Carter Burke said, it's irreprehensible for somebody to go, lay or clergy, to go against something that has the church's seals of approval. So, again, Nihil Obstat, there's nothing deviant or opposing faith and morals. So, again, there's nothing wrong with it. Again, I think this is the green light that everyone was waiting for, and I think everyone now can come out of the box. It's not so, we don't have to hide as much. We don't have to be underground. So, I mean, some countries that we have cynicals in, they are literally underground, and I'm sure you know what countries I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So they're in the basement, but we don't have to be here in the United States. We can be we can be shouting from the rooftops because it's here, and the church has acknowledged that everything, as incredible as those writings are, the church has said they have found nothing wrong with them. So kudos to the grace of the Catholic Church.
Very good.
When anybody tells you you can't read it, they're just doing something they shouldn't be telling. You don't have to be obedient to that because the church has approved it all. And like I said, there's no more index, so no one can tell you can't read anything anyway. And, you know, really, there's a canon law that says that if something is helping you grow in holiness, even your superior shouldn't take it away from you, because you should allow that person to continue to read. If you're reading it and it's helping you to grow in holiness, your priest or bishop should not tell you you can't read it. They should be looking after the good of their flock. And if their flock is growing, they're growing in holiness through these beautiful books, then they should not suggest to them that they don't read it. You know, so I encourage you to read it. And, you know, like I said, you can get it out there. It's everywhere, you know, and, you know, it's coming. It's growing more and more and more. The Bishop of Corato, when he spoke to us, he encouraged us to spread it, to read it. And, you know, in Corato, where Luisa is, you know, there's a beautiful place there where you can go and get some even relics of Luisa. But how prevalent it is and how much they've grown down there from it, the people who have really embraced it, you know, and people go and visit her tomb and they get a special grace. They've even moved her tomb now from the side of the church to near the altar. You know, she's buried there in the church. And so, you know, I encourage you just to get more involved in the Divine Will. There's a beautiful book that the Vatican has put out, The Son of the Divine Will, all about the life of Luisa. So if you can get a hold of that, I mean, Peter may be able to help you to know how to get that book. Do you have it on your website, Peter, where people can get that beautiful book about Luisa?
I do. If you go to literally Son of My Will page on the website, there'll be a link for the purchase. And actually, the bookstore does have, I think, 24 copies currently in stock, and they can always get others. So, yeah, so highly recommend that, because I think it's going to give a breath outside of the volumes. It's going to give color to a lot of the things that we have sort of in black and white in our minds and our hearts. I think it's a wonderful addition to a compliment to what we're doing right now.
Yeah. And I want to touch upon, too, the mystical theology written in the books. People get hung up on mystical theology. because of Jansenism, and people struggle with impurity. But Louisa and Jesus were so pure, see? And so Louisa, at one point, you know, our Lord wanted her to mother him. So he was a baby, and he wanted Louisa to nurse him as a baby, to console him, to mother him. He wants us to console him, in a sense, and to mother him by consoling him, even if spending time before the Blessed Sacrament is a way of consoling him, you know, because he loves so much, and he's seen his children, sinners all over the world. God is so patient with all the things, the terrible things going on in the world, people confused, not even knowing who they are anymore. God suffers a lot from that in the way that God can in his humanity, from souls being lost, you know, many souls gone to perdition, and because he loves them so much. So we can console him, and he wanted Louisa to console him. At times he would pour a bitter liquid into Louisa's mouth because he wanted her to suffer the cross. She suffered the crucifixion. She had the invisible stigmata. She asked for it to be invisible. A couple of times it was visible. Father Bucci, a priest that we knew, he grew up knowing Louisa. She told him he was going to be a priest. His Aunt Rosaria took care of Louisa. And he told us that his Aunt Rosaria sometimes would go in Louisa's room, and Louisa was full of blood. And she'd run and get towels. She'd come and clean her up. And when she'd come back in the room, the blood was all gone. So she lived the crucifixion. Throughout the day, she'd be crucified over and over again. She longed for the cross because she knew the value of the cross. And she wanted to keep souls from being lost forever. You know, we can continue redemptive suffering through our suffering. And our Lord told Louisa that those who suffer the most with resignation have the highest places in heaven. So, because what happens, he's allowing us to continue that redemptive suffering to save souls and to purify our own soul. Why do we have victim souls? It's a reason for victim souls. You know, they help the whole world. And our Lord told Louisa that you know, if you can live in the divine will and die to your own will, you're a victim soul. It's hard to never do your own will, never to give life to your own will, but only his will, you know. But every act and every round that you do, our Lord told Louisa, it goes around the world and it transforms every soul that's open to the grace. So if you want to transform the world, do acts and rounds in the divine will throughout the day. But he says, the more you understand what an act and a round is, the more faith you have in it, the more powerful that act and round is. So that's why it's important to read the volumes, to get the knowledge of it, so that every time you do an act and a round, you realize what's really happening. And it goes around the world and transforms every soul that's open to the grace, that hearts are open to it. So if you want to transform the world, read these volumes, do what it says, do acts and rounds in divine will throughout the day, and you're going to be transforming the whole world.
Couldn't agree more. You know, Mother and Ken, I think that mother in of itself is the greatest delineation of, you know, doing God's will and possessing God's will. And just to give a quick example, we've talked about this before, but let's just take Daniel 3:53 and on. He makes rounds, and those rounds only affected those souls in his lifetime. It was limited to that. But now, the gift of the divine will comes, and now everything becomes transtemporal. It affects all souls, past, present, and future, and it becomes eternal. It goes beyond time. So, and also, when we talk about the end of time, there's a crossover between the end of time and the end of times. We're talking about the end of time, which we should be waiting for, because the end of time will be that moment, just like Adam and Eve before sin, where there's no limit to what they did, the glory that they give to God, due to God, on the level due to God. So again, no longer limited by time and space, is the eternal, and the transtemporal affects all souls, past, present, and future. That in of itself makes this gift outside of no other gift, and again, all roads lead to the divine will. And not because we're journeying the divine will, that's just the way it is. All roads lead to the divine will. Doesn't mean we've done poorly if we're on another road. No, we just have to continue on that road. Don't be complacent. Don't be satisfied wherever you are until you reach the divine will. That's what God says. That's what Our Lady says.
Amen.
Yeah, and he told Louisa, when you worry, you're out of his will. He doesn't want us worried. And, you know, we just had the feast day of Padre Pio the other day. He used to say, pray, hope, and don't worry. When we worry, we're out of his will. We must trust in God. And I think these volumes help you to grow in trust. The more you call him in all your activities, and you're shrinking, and he's getting bigger in you, you take on, like I said, his attributes, his virtues. You begin to trust more. You stop worrying. You pray for your family, but without worry. You pray for your loved ones. And when you pray without worry, you're trusting in God, and things happen more readily. He cannot say no to anyone who lives in his divine will. He couldn't say no to Louisa. That's why when he wanted to chastise the people, send his justice, because he explained to her, his justice is his mercy. His justice is his love. Because if he can allow the body to suffer in order to save the soul, that's his love and his mercy, because the body will die, the soul will live forever. You know, so if he can save the soul through bringing about justice, that's his love and his mercy. And so he had stay away from Louisa because he couldn't say no to her, and she'd be begging him not to chastise the people. And he couldn't say no to his mother because she lived totally in divine will. So, you know, and people, another thing people have a problem with is our Lord told Louisa that Our Lady would be on his right in heaven and Louisa would be on the left. And they say, where's Saint Joseph? Well, I say St. Joseph's on the right with our Lady.
Amen.
And according to what he told, you know, what our St. Joseph told Sister Ephraim in the apparitions of the Our Lady of America, he said he was conceived in sin, but shortly after, sin was taken off out of his soul, and he was born without original sin. And he said he never sinned. St. Joseph never sinned. So he was much higher than Louisa in that way. Louisa is a sinner like us. St. Joseph was not a sinner, according to the messages that Sister Ephraim got. And so, you know, God chose him for a special mission. He's a terror of demons. You pray to St. Joseph, ask him to help you in these hard times when there are demons everywhere, you know. But the demons stay far away from those who live in a divine will, because they can't stand to be anywhere near anyone who's allowing Jesus to act within them and rounds within them. So, you know, I encourage you to do this, to keep the devil far away from you during these difficult times. And they're going to get more difficult maybe with time. But those who live in the divine will have peace and joy. And those following Our Lady of Medjugorje's messages, she told you, she says, you follow my messages, you don't have to worry about anything. You will be okay when times get really hard, you know. So let's try to do that, up our spiritual lives while we have the time right now, where we have the grace to do it.
All right. We've only got a minute left. The hour has flown by, and I appreciate you being here. I got a surprise. I think it was back in July, Mother, when a friend of mine sent me a picture of you in his sister-in-law's living room in Indianapolis with Mary Mathis. And what a surprise that was. I've been trying to get Paul on the Divine Will path, and I think that may have gotten him over the hump. So appreciate that. And then I was out Monday evening with somebody that is aware of Louisa but really hasn't gotten into the writings, but said that he knew somebody whose daughter was in the process of joining your order. And I thought how fantastic that was, especially now that you're stateside here in Tennessee. So how are things progressing there?
Well, pray for us. We're trying to build a little monastery to fit 17 sisters and then one for the men, the 17 men, on Little Mountain, which is about 5 minutes' ride from where we live in. We're living in a garage apartment here that they added on to with 8 little cells for the sisters. And so we hope to have that soon, because I have, you know, quite a few wanting to come and discern with us, but we're running out of space. We have 2 little bedrooms left, you know, so... you know, we hope that that will happen soon. So pray that that will happen, that we can get benefactors back to help us to do that. They just finished fixing the land, and now this week they have the county's going to approve the permit, the layout, the plans. So pray that they'll approve of the plans and we can start building. And also that the weather this winter will allow us to build. So we're hoping that maybe in the spring or summer of next year we could move into the new monasteries. And we'll also hopefully build a little church for people to come to.
Very good, Mother. We're out of time, unfortunately, and hope to have you back again. For our listeners, thanks for whatever part of the 2 hours you were with us. We'll see you next week.